Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Bonnie Kay and Misty Hall for the Straight Wives Radio Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. And good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm very wet. Like I told you earlier, if I was a duck, I would love this weather. We are, I think, maybe washing off in the state of Kentucky. I'm trying to hold the fort down, so let's hope not. How about yourself?
The whole state is slipping away into the ocean there.
Yeah.
You're not even near the ocean. That's the sad part.
I know.
No, here it's hot, hazy, and humid. We're having a hot summer night, and it's not even summer yet. But hopefully, like I say, that'll change also. But we want to welcome all our listeners, and I would like to say to all of you who are listening that Misty and I greatly appreciate all the wonderful emails you've been sending us about how much this show means to you. And the reason why we're so dedicated to doing this each week is because we know that we are a lifeline to other women who feel that there's nobody out there who can understand them. And certainly I know that when I was going through this in the early stages of my marriage many years ago, there was nobody out there who understood it. You know, there was 30 years ago, nobody even talked about this subject. So I know how isolated I used to feel and how alone I used to feel. And I know that you did too, Misty, right?
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, I didn't even find you. You were already doing this great work. And I didn't find you until I was in graduate school, you know, going to do a paper, and I found you on the Internet. So, I mean, it's so needed. If I could have only found you, you know, 10 years earlier, maybe I could have written a different story. But, yes, it's so needed. And it, just like you just said, we so appreciate all the comments and the beautiful letters. It really lets us know that what we're doing is worthwhile to reach out.
Yes, and if any of you have any comments or questions, please feel free to write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, and I'll be happy to pass your messages on to Misty, or you could write to Misty at Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall, at AOL. It's probably easier to write to me, shorter, Bonk, and I'll just pass it on to Misty. But either way, we're happy to hear from you, and we're really glad that, you know, this is connecting you to a sort of sanity, or as Misty calls it, moving away from that circle of crazy that you get so stuck in when you're married to someone who isn't being honest with you, who's making you feel as if he's gaslighting you. You know, we talked about gaslighting, you know, on several of our other shows. And I know that many of our women go through that phenomenon, and people say, well, what is gaslighting? And it comes from an old movie. But what it means is that when someone's trying to make you think that you're the crazy one and that you're the one at fault and you're the one to blame when it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. And these guys really are experts at doing this. So sometimes there's just no voice of sanity out there or people who do understand. And that's why we're so glad that we're able to express that to you, that it gives any of you the hope and the inspiration that you need to start thinking clearly and realizing that your situation is not a normal one, and certainly not one that you have to stay in for the rest of your life. It's one that you can move out of. You just need the help and support. We're here for you. And Misty and I would also like to mention about our online support chat, you know, that we have twice a week where you can meet some wonderful women. In fact, we had a couple of new women with us tonight. We'll say hi to you, Sarah and Dana, who were listening, you know, or came to our chat room and through our radio show. And it's just wonderful when we can meet new women coming into our support chat and they find others that they can connect to. So welcome to all of our listeners. And tonight we're going to have a very interesting show because although, you know, we are certainly out there giving support, we're not the only group that gives support. And as we mentioned, things have certainly changed over the years where nobody would talk about this subject at all. Now, there are a lot of people talking about it and also a lot of people doing things about it as far as giving support. And tonight we're going to have a dear friend of mine on the show, Carol Silverman, who is from another group called the Straight Spouse Network. And And even though we don't always see eye to eye, the group, you know, that group and I, Carol and I, certainly see eye to eye. But I think it's important that people at all different phases of their relationship need to get support. So I always say that if I'm not able to provide it, that certainly the Straight Spouse Network is able to do that because they have a broader umbrella. So, for instance, I work specifically with women who are married to gay men. But sometimes there are straight men who have lesbian wives, and certainly I refer them over to the Straight Spouse Network. And also, sometimes there are those women who are struggling and really want to stay in their marriages until they realize that, you know, this is not the best situation. So I also refer them over to Carol and the Straight Spouse Network because they do work with couples who, you know, are thinking about staying in their marriages and give them support also. So we're very excited that Carol will be with us today and talking about her organization and group and what sources of support they can provide. We had a really wonderful response last week to Dr. Francine Barbetta, and, you know, we received many, many emails thanking us for that show, and Francine was gracious enough to say she'll come back and join us again in June, and certainly you may want to look up her book before that time, A Pebble in His Shoe. And Francine is a therapist who wrote a really splendid story about her relationship with her ex-husband, and that book is really phenomenal. I know that I really enjoyed it and got a lot out of reading it. So please be listening back for that show again. And I also wanted to mention to our listeners that I will be going into New York on May 22nd for a get-together with some of our wonderful women who are coming in from that area. So if you live in the New York City area and you would like to join me and some other wonderful women, please just drop me a line at bombk@AOL, and I'll be happy to set you up with all the details. Misty, do you have any workshops that are coming up?
Yes, I have a workshop coming up. Matter of fact, next Saturday. Well, time flies. It will be May the 8th. And it's one of the Saturday seminars. And those have just become one of my favorite things. They're so wonderful. And that you just get to connect with other straight wives. And the topic this month, May, will bring is rebuilding. This will be a very generalized sort of Saturday seminar, and we'll discuss many, many different things that will help you rebuild. Once you get the devastation, once you hear the news and your world is turned upside down, and you discover your husband's gay, there's a lot of rebuilding that needs to take place, as you know, Bonnie. And this Saturday seminar is going to touch on that. It's going to touch on some healthy ways to rebuild. To start with, you know, your foundation, because this will break you down to the foundation. We'll discuss building from the foundation up. And also in the Saturday seminar, everyone has time to ask at least one or two questions. I open it up for discussion at the end. So I encourage anyone out there that would like to join, please, you know, send me an email, and Bonnie gave you the email address. I'll give it to you once more. It's my name, Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall@AOL.com, if you'd like more information. And it's just a great time to come together with other women.
And I think that's so important for women to find this kind of support, and especially being guided into the hands of safety of yours, Misty, because it's really hard to find someone who understands the situation, who's a therapist, and who can help move people, you know, to the next step. You know, I would like women to understand that, you know, I call it GHR, gay husband recovery, is a process, and it's not something that just happens, you know, because your marriage is over. There's so much residual scarring in these marriages, and we've spoken about this on our other shows. And we're going to speak about it again next week, about all the different issues that we have to go past that other people don't have to deal with. Because I can think of at least 20 different issues that straight wives of gay men have to deal with than just a woman who has a straight husband, where it's much easier to move on to that next phase of your life and the divorce. And I often tell women that it's amazing how 50% of, you know, marriages that have a straight husband, they end because the marriage is just not a good marriage, and life has to move on, but it just seems that our women sit and they linger, you know, feeling obligated in some way to stay in these marriages and to try to make something work that's not workable. So that's, you know, the topic that we're going to be discussing next week, the different phases that women have to go through who have gay husbands, where it's different than women who have straight husbands. So we hope that you'll be listening into that show as well. So that's why any help that Misty, you know, in her workshops has, you know, the women who have attended them have said it's been phenomenal as far as how much they get out of these workshops as far as moving on to the next phase. So now we're going to bring on our guest, Carol. Just give us a minute here.
Hi.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm here. I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Good. And Misty's with us also.
Hi, Misty. I haven't met you, but hello anyway.
Hello to you, Carol. Nice to meet you.
Even though Misty hasn't met you, she's heard all the wonderful things that I always say about you, Carol.
And I've heard good things about her from you, so.
Yes, and they're all true. I'm all glad we have so many good things to say about each other. I like all these positive affirmations.
Neutral admiration society.
It's really nice to have them once in a while, right?
Yeah.
So, Carol, we were telling our listeners, and, you know, we were just so excited that so many people are listening to our show, that we've had such an overwhelming, wonderful response as each week the show keeps building. And I did tell them that, you know, you're part of the Straight Spouse Network, and I think that it's an excellent resource for some people who need help and support that certainly I can't give. And first of all,
it's
you
nice
have...
It's nice to have choices.
It's nice, well, not only choices, but people need different kinds of support at different times of their lives.
And I'm sure there are people who are both, you know, members of your group and members of my group. I'm sure there's a huge overlap there.
There is a lot of that overlap. The wonderful thing with the Straight Spouse Network, they do have face-to-face support, which is really important because some people want to see a person. You know, talking in a chat room is great and listening to a radio show is wonderful, but sometimes you have that need to be with other people to make that personal connection, and certainly the Straight Spouse Network provides that. So I was hoping that maybe you could talk a little bit about yourself, Carol, your situation, what led you to the Straight Spouse Network, because certainly, you know, you've been the president, board member, very active in helping to formulate it, run it, and you're, you know, very active in your Westchester, New York chapter. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. Memorial weekend of 1969, I met my now ex-husband at Tuckamuck Ravine. We are a very avid ski family, and that's a place where people go who are crazy avid skiers to ski at the end of the season, and there he was, and I met him, and we ended up making it much shorter, getting married and having three children.
And I'm sorry, what year did you meet him?
Memorial weekend, 1969.
Okay, so that was back in the days before anybody knew anything about the
That's
game.
Right. Right. So well, I'm sure some people did, but I sure didn't, that's for sure.
And were you in other relationships before to compare this to?
Not really. Not really. I'd date for a year and a half, then somebody else for a few months, and, you know, just on and off, you know, you have a lot of different boyfriends, and then you just specialize in one, and then that would not work, and, you know, just, I guess
so
a normal dating thing.
So when you first met him, was there anything that struck you odd, different, anything that would alert you there's any kind of problem there?
No, I was really clueless.
Okay.
Absolutely clueless. I was actually, I was at that time, I was dating, I was 25, I was dating somebody, he was 30, and I was dating somebody who was 20. And there was a big difference in the interesting sex of the 20-year-old and the 30-year-old, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The 20-year-old was very enthusiastic, and my now ex was, you know, really not that interested at all. So, I mean, the funny thing is that they were both virgin when I met them. I wasn't, but they were.
Hmm.
I'm not that I'm this, you know, super sexy person, but it just happened that I had more experience than they did, and it was just interesting at the time.
Now, did you know your husband didn't have any sexual experience at that point?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And did that
he was saving himself for his wife. It turned out that he was a pathological liar leading a double life and gay, but that was one of the lies. When you fill in the blanks, you say, well, I've heard that women say I'm saving myself for my husband. Okay, that makes sense. I guess men do it too. You know, you're always filling in the blanks for these guys.
And back then, it may not have been as unusual, but I tell women today that if you meet a guy who doesn't want to touch you because he wants to wait until you're married, that means he's gay.
That's a big red flag, yeah, absolutely.
Very big
but who knew then?
Exactly. Back in those days, it was kind of the norm.
Yeah. Anyway, so we got married. We had three kids. It's amazing. I say I'm as close to a virgin as you can be with three kids. He was really never interested in sex, and when it was very, you know, robotic what there was of it. And then back in 1997, my daughter caught him making dates on the gay chat line on AOL, and he lied his way out of that one and bought himself a few months. And the first week of April of 98, I guess it was, you know, I found something on the internet, and you know, there was just no denying what I was looking at, what was going on. And so he got caught, and I was completely catatonic for a while. And but yeah, but along the, you know, when you look back on things, it's all hindsight. You know, a lot of his friends were gay. A lot of the parties we went to, I was the only woman. But it was the industry. He was in the gourmet food industry, and, oh, well, you know, it's the industry. There's all these gay guys in the industry. So a lot of his friends were gay, and I didn't think anything of it. It was the end, you know, all these lies made sense at the time, kind of like O.J. with the glove, you know. And, you know, a bit of it fit, and you fill in the rest of the blanks yourself. And then ultimately,
I was curious, did he ever make, like, anti-gay comments or make...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He was homophobic, absolutely. We'd walk around the trade shows, and he'd point out, well, that guy is gay, and that guy is gay, and that... And my answer was, what do I care? I don't sleep with them. They look like nice people to me. I don't have to sleep with them. What do I care? So he was sending up trial balloons all along. And, you know, ultimately it turned out... He's still in the closet. This is now 13 years post-divorce. And he still swears that he's not gay, that I'm crazy, and that I broke up the family. Well, he can think what he wants, but, you know, my then 16-year-old daughter pulled up his profile on the gay chat line, and there it was, married, bisexual, Asian men really turned me on, every statistic about his body.
Did he have a response to that?
No, he really didn't have a response to that. He, you know, there were things he could think of a quick lie for, but that one he really could. Well, that one, he said, well, you know, we had closed the company because he had run it into the ground, the gourmet food company, and so we brought the stuff home, and he said, well, I'm on the gay chat line because I need a social life. I used to see people all day long, and now I'm stuck in the basement running this business, and, you know, just I'm not acting on anything. I'm just, you know, look at how many people are online, people to chat with. And my daughter by then had been taking sign language stuff, and she created the deaf chat line on AOL. And he said, you see, the deaf chat line's only got 10 or 15 people on it, but the gay chat line has 200 people. So, you know, of course, you know, just one lie after another that made sense at the time.
And, Carol, I just want to dwell on that for one moment because
sure.
We have so many women who tell us, well, my husband gives me this excuse when I find him on a gay chat line that this is normal. All men are curious.
Right, right.
They're going through a midlife crisis. They want to see what else is out there. They think it's funny. They're trying to, you know, see how other people live. And I always say if someone's in a gay chat room, they're not looking at anything other than looking for a gay man.
Absolutely. And he was a member of a couple of gyms, and he would pick up men there. He apparently was going to the bathhouses in Manhattan a couple of blocks from where he worked. It was just, you know, at one point I found his attaché case, which he had hidden behind the boiler one day. It's a spooky story how that happened, which is too long to get into now. But sure enough, in there, there were pictures of him naked and erect with some Asian guy naked and erect. And you could see in the mirror that it was upstairs at 53rd and Madison at a jean salon. You could just see the whole thing in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a couple of blocks from where he worked. And sure enough, there he is, you know. And apparently these were the pictures that they had put on the internet to solicit other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of... He became all of a sudden clean-shaven. I mean, he was a hairy guy when I met him. And my then 16-year-old daughter, who was the only one home at the time, you know, said, gee, you know, Dad's got no hair on his body anymore. What's going on? Well, the excuse for that was, you know, I'm in the food business, and God forbid a hair should fall into the food, how awful that would be. But he'd been in the gourmet food business for many years by then. And it turns out that it was to please the Asian men he was with, because they think that people who are hairy are very animalistic.
Mm-hmm.
And Asian men are cheap, and they'll do anything, according to the people I've heard. And so you want to appeal to them if that's what you're interested in. So he became, even his back, I mean, just no hair on his body at all. It was kind of weird.
Yes, and I think that's another very big sign. I tell women,
oh, yeah.
If your husband all of a sudden goes hairless.
Right.
You know, when you have to look for signs, and of course there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But once you see a sudden physical change, running to the gym and losing weight, you know, looking like a totally different person, using body wax on your hair.
Yeah.
Growing hair on top of your head, you know, all these different things, you know.
To try to appeal to other men.
Exactly.
Indeed.
But how long do you think it was going on for before you
actually... His entire life. He's been gay all his life. He didn't become gay. I didn't make him gay.
I meant like acting on it.
Oh, I would say most of all of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if he wasn't sleeping with women and he was 30 years old when I met him,
mm-hmm.
he was sleeping with men all that time.
Do you think he was under a lot of family pressure to get married?
Probably, and I'm the first girl that came along. I'm the only woman he's ever kissed in his life, and right now he's over 70, 71.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still the only woman he's ever kissed in his whole life. But he called himself bisexual, so that's, on the web. To the family and everybody, he was straight, homosexual, heterosexual, whatever. But on his profile on AOL gay chat line, he was bisexual. Married bisexual, Asian men really turned me on.
Yes, and what that means when they say they're bisexual means they have a wife, but they're living a gay life.
That's right.
They can call it what they want, but it
absolutely
is what it is. A lot of women get fooled by that terminology, bisexual.
Yeah, well, they think there's hope. They think, well, gee, maybe I could, if I've got Victoria's Secret catalog, I could bring him more to this side, or, was a better housekeeper, or blonder, or thinner, or whatever. But that's not the way it is. When these guys say they're bisexual, that means they're gay. Now, that's not organization talk. My organization completely buys into the bisexuality. That's just me personally.
Mm-hmm.
The organization, if they want to say they're bisexual, fine. We take them at face value. We have a big tent, and we'll take them however they self-identify. Because it doesn't matter to us. If they're sleeping with men, they're sleeping with men, and there's a wife involved. So that's,
Right. I tell women it doesn't matter if they're sleeping with you. The fact that they are sleeping with men is what counts.
Right. Absolutely. And,
you can
and,
call
and
it
if
whatever
sleeping,
you want to call it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and if they're sleeping with men in addition, you're endangering your health, among other things, because, they do bring home different things than they would if they were just sleeping with you. So there's a lot of health hazards there.
I just want to mention to our listeners, because if anybody would like to talk to Carol, that you're more than welcome to call into our line, which is, if you have a pencil, it's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that. Area code 646-716-4893. Well, looks we have a caller for you, Carol. Hold on
one
moment. Let's just
good.
See. Hello? Are you there, caller? Hello? Well, maybe the caller hung up.
Could be.
Okay. Well, maybe the caller will call back.
Maybe.
Okay, so I'm sorry, you can go
ahead.
But
anyway, so it took me a whole year to find this organization, all the time thinking I was the only one stupid enough to have ever fallen for this and the only one it ever happened to in the whole wide world. And then one of the counselors at my daughter's high school said, hey, I've just heard of this organization. Your mom might be interested. So that was about a year afterwards, and found the organization and found the support in Manhattan, which is the only one in the New York metro area, and went to their meetings. And ultimately, after my long, cumbersome, terrible, horrible divorce from hell was over, I formed a group in Westchester, and there's now a group in Mahwah, New Jersey as well. So we have three in the New York metro area.
Mm-hmm.
But nationwide, we have 53 at the moment.
And not only nationwide, but you have also other chapters outside this country, correct?
Right. And we also have contacts in most of the country, even if there is no face-to-face group in your area. We have spouse contacts all over the country and in many foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
We have 8 online support groups. Most of them have chats and webs attached. And we're strictly nonprofit, funded by tax-deductible donations. So those are some of the important things to know about Oregon. If you come to a meeting, or whether or not you do, there's no membership fee at the moment. There's no, we just have voluntary contributions to help us keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some paid part-time staff, very, very little, but with an organization our size, you can imagine we need to pay a webmaster and, other organizational things.
Tell us a little bit about the different kinds of, is there any kind of particular philosophy at the face-to-face meetings?
We're just there to support people wherever they are. We're not there to tell them what they should be doing. We're there to support them, to have them be with other people who get it, because no matter what other divorce support group you might get, they don't get the whole wrinkle of the straight spouse, the whole betrayal, the whole lying, the whole feeling less feminine or less masculine, as the case may be. A regular divorce support group will say, well, everybody contributed, there's not just one person's fault, whereas in our case, we really feel there is We didn't contribute. We didn't make them gay, and we didn't tell them to marry us when they really would rather be with men.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we don't feel that we contribute that much to the divorce. Like a regular support group might say, well, it takes two people, you know.
Well, that's so, for sure. We say it only takes one.
It can take one.
The homosexual one.
Right.
To make a marriage not work, because you
right.
can't have a marriage when somebody's gay and you're straight. But let me
well, you can, but you have to make accommodations that are only accommodating to their needs and not to yours so much.
Right. And, you know, I always say that everybody has their, you know, special needs, and I don't speak for 100% of all women. I certainly speak for probably 95%. But there's that other 5% who have all different kinds of extenuating circumstances in their lives and who are willing to live a certain way or live a certain lifestyle or who just don't care.
Well,
so,
a lot of it is financial. I mean, you might need the paycheck. You might need the medical insurance. You might see that you don't have a way out. Divorces are very expensive in some states. And a lot of people, just especially these days, don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it, you know, you can sort of do some things on your own in some states, but it's very, very difficult and very expensive in other states. And maintaining two households is very expensive. So a lot of the reasons that people stay together is not so much because they want to, but because they feel they have no choice financially.
Yes. And like I say, there are some extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
I tell women that at least if you're emotionally free, that's half the battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, some women just can't get out at the moment. They either have, you know, I work with a lot of women who have disabilities
mm-hmm.
who just can't make it on their own, but they just are very suppressed living in these marriages. So getting support is really important just so that they can understand that they're not crazy, that they're not the ones who are at fault. And we see that happening so much where, you know, these men take no responsibility at all. Like, you know, the whole blame goes to the wife. And I guess, you know, it is their fault in a way with the wives, you know, are at fault because they're women and these men cannot deal with that.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
you know,
basically, if you bought a house and you found out there was a big plumbing problem that the previous owner knew about, you would have some recourse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here you've made a contract and you weren't given full disclosure. And this is, you know, one heck of a plumbing problem.
And it's one that you can't seal up very quickly.
Absolutely. And then you get the collateral damage of the children, too. I mean, most of these people want to get married and have kids and live the American dream. And, well, they should, but not with the straight ones. They should marry each other and leave us out of it.
Now, when you have your support group meetings, do you also have couples coming? Or
no. No, we only deal with the straight spouse. There's plenty
okay.
of support out there for the gay one.
But how about the couples who are staying together? You have a group that's supporting for them, too, I think.
There is. We call that mixed orientation marriages, and they have their own thing going. I assume that when they have their meetings, although I've never been to one, I think that they do have couple things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
I'm not
that
familiar with what happens with them because I'm not in that situation.
Right. But, you know, I mentioned earlier before you came on that there are those people who, you know, at this point of their marriage, they're determined to keep it together because they haven't realized yet they just can't stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And I always do refer them over to you, and you're kind
yeah.
enough to refer them to your group. So not everybody's ready to jump into divorce.
Right.
You know,
and many people do stay married for their entire lives. I know several couples who've got all different arrangements going on, and they manage to stay married because there's some, you know, history and there's some bond of affection. And at least it's an honest relationship at that point when everybody knows what the story is.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it just is convenient for the gay one because he says, okay, we'll have an open marriage and I can go date whoever I want. And the women tend not to go out and date so much.
Mm-hmm.
I know a few cases where the women are out dating, but mostly the women are just staying home, taking care of the kids, making the meals, being the housewife, and the husband's the one who's out, you know, having some fun.
Now, do you have many men who come to your group who have
yes.
lesbian wives?
Yes, we do.
And
Not as many. I would say probably, you know, 20% of our people are men because women always have a best friend who knows what they're doing, and men don't seek help as much as women do.
Do you think it's a different phenomenon for the man, you know, women with gay husbands and men with lesbian wives?
Well, either way, they in most cases, the gay one knew about it before they got married, you know, kind of hoped that maybe getting married would cure them or, you know, it was just what was expected of them. They thought the feelings would go away. Some of them, you know, kind of came into it innocently like that, thinking it would fix everything.
Mm-hmm. I meant for the straight spouse, as far as the men and the women. Do you find that they have, you know, similar issues, different issues?
Well, dating is usually a big issue, but I think I find that the men get over it and get on with their dating lives and have more of a sex drive or a need to be with women more than the women the other way around.
I get criticized for that sometimes, but I really feel that, you know, I'm very empathetic towards any man going through this, but I still feel they have an easier time moving on in their lives.
They seem to. It's hard to generalize. It really is. I mean, one guy brags, hey, how bad could it be if I kept a lesbian happy for 14 years? So, you know, different way of looking at it. I don't think it affects their sexuality as much as sometimes it or attractiveness, feelings of attractiveness, as much as it does affect some of the women.
Mm-hmm. And I think in general it's just the difference between men and women.
Yeah.
That men don't have the same kind of emotional structure that women have.
And I think men these days have more opportunities, too. There just seem to be so many more women out there looking for men than men looking for women.
Now, the men that you have in your group that mm-hmm. you've worked, you know, through the years that you've seen, do many of them have the child-raising responsibilities?
Some do and some don't. It's hard to generalize.
Mm-hmm.
One of the founding members of my little group in Westchester was about 70 years old when his wife said, listen, I've been, you know, a good wife and a good mother for 40 years, and I can't do it for one more minute. And he was like the most surprised person in the world. He thought he had a good marriage going.
Mm-hmm.
And when he first came, all he wanted to do was get remarried. He thought marriage was wonderful, and he just couldn't wait to meet somebody else and get remarried. Well, it's now, 13 years later,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't come to my meetings anymore, but I bump into him periodically, as I did a couple of weeks ago. And he is the belle of the ball. I mean, he's got lady friends all over. And several of the women have wanted to marry him, and he has not gone for that. He's gotten a little bit more, you know, more independent.
Independent, right.
Yeah, and he doesn't see any point in his getting married right now.
But
so
that
was interesting.
Well, one time I made a statement many, many, many years ago that it's easier for men because most of them don't have the child-bearing responsibilities. They're more financially independent than women are.
Yeah.
You know, they've been the breadwinners, yeah. A lot of women were staying home.
But a lot of men, too, have the joint custody deal going that the women have as well. I think that's the majority of people with younger children have a joint custody arrangement where they do take, you know, a full 50% of the child care stuff.
Let me ask you this, Carol. At your meetings, you know, because you're dealing face-to-face with so many people,
mm-hmm.
I know that this is a big issue for many of our women, so tell me how it works with yours.
Sure.
As far as adjusting to the fact when they have a gay husband and there are children in the picture, you know, about accepting their gay husband's lovers being involved with the children. They have a really difficult time dealing with that.
That's a big one. That's a big one because very often the husband who's got a partner has an apartment with one bedroom and they want to have sleepovers. And a lot of the women in our group object to that unless you have a second bedroom. There's not much you can do. You can write it into your stipulations that you should have a second bedroom, but it really, you know, it's not really anything written in law. You could try to have it, but it doesn't work all that well. And a lot of the times the children want to have only their parent around, and, you know, a date with daddy doesn't mean a date with daddy and his boyfriend of the moment. So
you think it would be different if it was daddy and his girlfriend?
Yeah, I think so. Well, a little bit of a long tradition, the girlfriend of the moment, but a lot of these kids do bond with the boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then they break up, and then they bond with the next boyfriend, and it gets to be, you know, unpleasant, really.
I know.
Because generally the kids would rather just be with their father and not with their father and the father's boyfriend.
I know. We always have that discussion that if a father doesn't see a child that much to start with, can he just come without the boyfriend?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or can he just spend the quality time with his, you know, child?
And the other thing is the sleepovers, because if they're going to have any kind of a joint custody or visitation, you know, unless you live really close by so the kid can sleep in his own bed all the time with his mother, or assuming, you know, that's the straight one, the visitation is a problem because you have to worry about what's going on. But we have had people in my group who really bonded with the guy, and the father married the other person in Connecticut or, you know, whatever, and
mm-hmm.
they did come to be very fond of him.
Yes, I see that happening also. I think it's just, you know, the responsibility of fatherhood. That if you're a responsible father, then children can learn to adapt to any situation, as long as you put the needs of the children first.
Yeah. And the whole public display of affection stuff, you wouldn't want to have him sleeping over if the father had a girlfriend over. You know, it just would be inappropriate to have a child around when you're having a public display of affection.
And I think the part of it is, like I always tell the gay men that I work with, you know, you've had a lifetime to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And by the time that your wife finds out, you've already dealt with it for years. And you can't expect that overnight that she's going to be able to accept this and say, okay, I can deal with it. It takes a long time. Look how long
right.
it took them to deal with it. So,
and many of them don't want to get divorced. Many of them want to keep, you know, have their cake and eat it too. They want to have their home life with their family, and they want to go out and, you know, party with their friends and do whatever they do with their friends. And that's not really fair because you don't get that choice. They get, you know, very often they want that choice, and it's not available to you.
Is there a lot of socializing as far as Straight Spouse Network, as far as, you know, women and men meeting and having?
Well, we have the face-to-face support group. We have the online stuff, and then once a year we have a big gathering in Florida in October. And
mm-hmm.
we attract up to 100 people from all over the world, men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And people do meet at these gatherings. And there are smaller gatherings in other places around the country. And
mm-hmm.
people do meet and marry. I mean, we've had quite a number of straight spouses marrying each other because you start out with, you know, really getting it and really understanding what happened with the previous marriage. So we have had quite a number of people meeting and getting married.
Have you found that in your meetings that you have with people, that there seems to be a prototype of a woman that gay men go after?
Gee, I wish I did. We tend to be a little bit more naive, a little bit less sexually experienced. We tend to be people who do not lie and are very trusting, and
mm-hmm.
we just assume that if we're telling the truth, everybody else is. So we should, I think that's a vulnerability. There's just no guile there. We seem to be the very ordinary, simple, honest people on the earth, and that's who these people find to victimize.
Yeah.
These people
Hold
who
on.
Are just...
Hold on for a moment with you. We have another caller.
Great.
Hello? Are you there? Caller? I'm not sure why we're having problems getting people on the line. Hello? Well, it seems like we're just having problems this evening, Carol. Don't personalize it.
Okay. I won't take it personally.
Hopefully they'll call back. But,
Let me mention our website. We have a wonderful website called straightspouse.org, and if anybody goes there, they can find out lots of information about our organization, and they can find groups near them. There's a place on there where you can click and find groups, both the online chat groups and face-to-face support groups. And, you know, some people's stories are on the online as well, and, you know, just all kinds of good information.
Now, is Straight Spouse Network involved in any kind of legal movements at all?
No, we have two petition statements out there. One of them is pro-gay marriage, let them marry each other and leave us out of it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is that you can't reprogram people who are gay. They're gay, and no amount of reprogramming is going to make a difference. And those are our two political sort of statements that are out there. They're the only two we've made. And
mm-hmm.
we really, as an organization, we do believe it. There are people who in our organization who don't agree with that, who think that you can reprogram and who don't think that gay people should marry each other, but I think the vast majority of us go along with the program on those.
Yes, well, I certainly know that I do, and I think Misty does also, right, Misty?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. We were part of the Millennium March on Washington back at the year 2000. There were several. Dina Hamer was one of them. Were,
mm-hmm.
were you involved in that?
No, that was
okay,
before.
Well, that was a political thing that we did, but we don't get involved too much in politics.
Yeah, I know that we're not too much involved in it either, but there was a political stance that I really wanted to take, and I was hoping that other straight wives would really support it this year.
Now, what's
and
that?
My position is this, and, you know, really, I write about this sometimes, and it does upset me. I really do believe that, you know, I'm the most understanding and compassionate person when it comes to understanding why gay men get married, and I'm always defending them to our women even when they don't want to believe me. I think in almost all cases, not 100%, but in almost all cases, these guys love their wives. They want to have
as much as they could ever love a woman.
Right. You know, it's not like there's ill intention going in. They're not marrying us because they hate women. They're really hoping if they love us that, you know, this will make them straight. And some of them carry it off for a while, and that's what misleads them also. But my bottom line is that no matter whether it's good intentions or bad intentions, it had nothing to do with the woman.
Right.
You know, she had no knowledge at all. So why is the woman stuck paying for the divorce? And I really believe that men should be responsible for the payments of the divorce. I see our women being soaked for everything they have, and it really upsets me. You know, why should they have to be paying it all for a divorce into a marriage that was a false marriage to start with?
They should just be annulled, and that's it. I believe that the Catholics have a thing called mistake of person. And that's a way of getting, you know, annulled in the Catholic Church, whether or not you've got children and no matter how long you've been married. And they use that both for men who marry women who find out afterwards they don't want to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people do use it to get out of these marriages, at least within the church, but that's not the government.
Right, but that's not
going to
help them as far as the legal aspect
of it.
And
no,
I do feel that if a man marries a woman, and even if it's, you know, with good intentions, but he is gay, then it's not the woman's fault the marriage is breaking up. I don't believe that there should be a 50-50 or that it's no-fault marriages when there is a fault. And I really feel that, you know, I see so many women who have to give up so much of what they have when they, in fact, have nothing to do with what the problem is. And I really think that we should try to do something about that.
I don't know if FXN is going to get involved, you know, Straight Spouse Network is going to get involved in that one. We just, you know.
Well, maybe not as an organization, but I'm just saying that women in general, you know, who are listening,
The person at fault should, I mean, logically thinking the person at fault should be paying. But it shouldn't be that expensive. It shouldn't be that hard to get divorced. And that's another issue, is that in a lot of states you can't say that the guy is gay and that's why you're getting divorced, because that's not a ground for divorce in most states.
Right. I'm not sure why that is.
And you can't even really prove adultery with this. I mean, what, are you going to catch the guy in bed with another guy, with a camera, you know? So it's really, even on those states where adultery is grounds for divorce, it's very hard to prove.
I know. I wish there was some legal way to make that, you know, that it is a legal reason to bring that into the court, that's why the divorce is taking place, because I know a lot of our women have that problem.
Yeah.
You know, there is infidelity, these men are living another life, and yet that can't be the reason why they're getting a divorce. And I think that's ridiculous.
I agree, but there should be, first of all, there should be no-fault divorce everywhere. You're not happy, get divorced, move on, don't have your children living in an unhappy household. It's better to be from a bad household than in a bad household, for sure.
I'm not sure, Carol. I think there should be a your-fault divorce.
Instead
of a no-fault divorce.
Okay.
No, I'd like the your-fault divorce, and I think that they should pay for the divorce. But I definitely believe that it's much healthier for children when you don't have a bad marriage together, regardless of whether it's straight, gay, or otherwise. You know, and we tell this to our women all the time, that if you're not happy, there's no way that your children are going to be happy. You know,
and children learn what
they
live in. If they're living in a household full of lies and full of unfaithfulness, that's what they're living.
Yes, could you address that a little bit?
The fact that the children are living in a household of lies?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of kids are more intuitive than we give them credit for.
Exactly.
We had a woman once, not in my group, but in the Manhattan group, who came. She had a 12-year-old daughter, and she was saying the daughter was having nightmares, and the nightmares were that daddy was dating a woman. No, daddy was a woman dating another man. But she thought this 12-year-old daughter, this is going back many years, girl's probably out of college by now, but she was positive that her daughter had no inkling of what was going on. And obviously, subconsciously, this girl did have it. I think we underestimate our children. I know with my kids, after it all hit the fan, years later, my son mentioned to me that when he and his next down sibling were in high school, they had discussed, do you think dad is gay? Of course, they didn't mention it to me, but they did discuss, you know, do you think dad is gay? And so, no, it wasn't a surprise when everybody found out that dad was gay. Not a surprise at all.
And I think that we've brought up this issue a number of times, that what people don't realize is that when children know, and a lot of times they know long before we do, because they're far more sophisticated with the computer skills, they can check what's going on the computer, they see what their dads are doing.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, they have to become the holder of the secret.
Right.
And that puts them in a very bad position, because they don't want to hurt their mothers, you know, and they love their fathers, they don't want to break up the marriage. And yet they feel they have to hide the lie. And I just think that it's just so sad for the children.
Or worse than that, we've had people where their children told the parents, look what I found on the Internet, and told the mother. And that's not a good situation either. They have teenage boys discovering and then having to tell the mother, who, you know, really feels like she should have been protecting these kids from it. And here they are, you know, finding out that their father is gay and finding all the porn and finding all the boyfriends and the emails and everything.
Now, with your experience, what do you think the best situation is when you find out about your husband being gay, as far as telling the children?
As soon as possible, because otherwise you get the thing where you tell them later and they say, what, you didn't love me enough to trust me with this information? But, of course, it depends on the age appropriateness of the child.
That's
what I
mean,
you know. But I would say that the sooner the better, because otherwise you're keeping secrets, and lies are toxic, and you're keeping secrets, and it's just, you know, I think the kids get very confused that way. These days, it's not so unusual to get divorced, and it's not so unusual to have a gay father or a gay mother. It's just, you know, it's just part of what life is out there, and keeping secrets are just toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think the kids do get angry if they find out later on that, you know, you knew something and didn't tell them.
Do you think there's a difference with the way that girls handle it versus boys?
I don't know. Girls may be more understanding. I don't know. Boys may be more feeling like, oh, my God, if he's gay, does that mean I'm gay? Because there certainly is a genetic component to this. I mean, you find out that, well, he couldn't tell his father that he was gay because the father's so homophobic. Well, sure, the father's homophobic because the best defense is a good offense. And that's what happens in a lot of families.
And I think another thing that's misleading is that, you know, I used to have the same fears that, you know, my son would be gay because his father was gay, because in all my research, certainly I have found that the numbers of children of, you know, who from a gay parent is double of what it would be under other circumstances because, you know, it is genetic. But I think that we're misled into thinking it's just going to be our sons when, in fact, for me, it was my daughter.
You know, I met somebody just the other day who is a psychiatrist of some kind with, you know, all kinds of PhDs, and she did her research on sexual issues, and her research indicated, and I have to talk to her again, you know, another day, because we only had a few minutes, but her research indicated that if the father is gay, it's more likely to be the daughter, and if the mother is gay, it's more likely to be the son who are gay, and I'm mulling that over among the people that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem to work out that way often. I'm not sure if it's every time, but it does seem to work that way often.
Yeah, I've seen it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I really never did a study on which is more.
Yeah.
But I do know that certainly it could be with the females and that we shouldn't just assume that it's going to be a son that could be gay, that women need to be sensitive. It could be your daughter also.
Yeah. But the point is, if it's your child, you join PFLAG and you love them anyway, and you just hope they're not going to marry somebody straight.
Well, that's easy to say, but I see a lot of parents who reject their children when they're gay.
They do, yeah.
You know, and that's a hard thing.
But that's an education thing. I mean, do you want to lose your kid forever? Do you want to accept them the way they are? Especially if it's a hereditary thing. Heck, you know, basically, it's yours or your husband's fault. Not fault, but, you know, if you're a gene, you should have caused this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I always say that I never find gay in isolation.
Yeah.
That I always find it in a family, and even if it's not directly a parent, then it's an uncle or a cousin.
Absolutely.
You know, that it just never works on, you know, on its own, and to me that shows there's, you know, genetic predisposition for this.
Yeah. A lot of males in my husband's family were gay, and one of them was very Orthodox Jewish and lived in Israel, and he finally at some point when he was about 40 years old had a rabbi match him up with some woman, and they've had a kid every year since then. So you have to have a lot of sympathy for the people who are Orthodox of any religion and who get fixed up, you know, in the religion, and they're basically, you know, stuck.
Well, I think we see that in any kind of religious movement, whether it's Christian or...
Yeah, any of the fundamentalist stuff.
Any kind of fundamentalist things is right. But even, I know in New York, there are several Orthodox Jewish organizations that are support groups for, you know, gay people.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's slow in coming, certainly, you know, there was some support for it.
Yeah, actually, I was part of a panel that did a panel discussion with 45 Orthodox Jewish men who were gay at in Manhattan about a month or two ago, and it was very, very interesting because they really didn't want to marry women. Some of them who were married, you know, didn't want anybody to know and don't tell my wife and blah, blah, because she'll never know. But the ones who weren't married, we really encouraged them not to get married. I don't care what the religion tells you to do. This is not going to be good for you, it's not going to be good for the woman, and it's not going to be good for the children.
And I still say that in this country, even though there are strong religious influences, you still have better choices that you can make than some of the women who I have to deal with from countries like India.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, the...
With the arranged marriages.
Arranged marriages,
yes.
Or Muslim countries, Chinese people. I have a lot of Asian people that I, you know, work with. Really, they're really stuck, you know. This is just the way it has to be. They have to get married.
Right.
And the men don't want to get married either, but, you know, they feel forced into these marriages.
There was a young Indian woman at one of the meetings, not mine, but one of the other ones, and she had a bigger problem even than that because she was married to this guy by contract, and a couple of years later, her mother-in-law is berating her for not giving grandchildren. Well, she was still a virgin a couple of years later. How is she going to have grandchildren, you know? But her mother-in-law was really, you know, very unkind to her about the fact that she hadn't produced any grandchildren yet.
Well, I know that I had one young woman from India who I was working with, and she was very clear in telling me that if you have a gay husband, that you're to blame.
I could.
They would put the blame on you,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there's something wrong with you, that your husband has to be gay.
Yep.
So,
did you give her a magic wand?
Well, I think in India they might have one. They can make their husbands gay. No, but I know that the cultural differences, you know, I feel so bad for these women who get in touch with me from other countries because they really are stuck. It's not like they have any choice unless they want to leave the country and leave everything they have. You know, the family pressure is just so
yes.
intense. How about, do you find a lot of women coming to you who tell you that, you know, there's just no proof?
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Because
in America, we're taught that you're innocent until proven guilty, and that really was a hard one for me, too. I kept looking for proof and looking for proof. And even when I found it, I would go back into denial, and then I would say, wait a minute, no, what about this and what about that, and then I'd get back onto the track again. But I think it's really normal in America to have this innocent until proven guilty thing. And they try to make us think we're crazy, as you had mentioned, gaslighting. And you know, it does work. I mean, when I was in denial during that time, I said, wait a minute, this is crazy. He's right, I'm crazy. You know, we have these kids, we have this life, we're married, you know. And then I said, oh, yes, but what about the photographs and what about all this other, you know, the profile on the Internet? And then I'd kind of get back into reality after that. But,
right,
you know,
but at least you had some kind of proof. But we have women
yeah.
who come to me who just have no proof at all. They just have, I say, trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Because women who have straight husbands don't think they're gay.
You would never think of it. That's the whole thing. Even with a gay husband, you didn't think of it. Who thought that gay people got married to straight women? I mean, they were just crazy. Who would think that? You know, why would they do that? They find it repulsive. But then they do.
Right. But what about the women? Do they come to your group and say, I just know something's off, but
yeah.
you won't tell me?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
but my attitude, if you're even thinking it, it must be true, because you would never think it. Why would you think it other than that? Straight women married to straight men, there's never a thought the guy is gay. It wasn't even a thought to me until I saw it in black and white,
mm-hmm.
and then it was obvious. But if you're thinking that he's gay, because you would never think of it otherwise. Wouldn't even come to your mind.
How about, do you have women who are coming to your group who talk to you about their husbands having sexual addictions?
Yeah, we've had a couple of those. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I have women who come through our group whose husbands are having extreme sex with men, also with women, with everybody, everything. We've had women who've come to our group whose husbands were caught with dogs.
Oh, I haven't had that yet.
Well, I haven't had any goats yet, but I did have two people with dogs. And, you know, but they were still gay. I mean, not necessarily dogs, but they were
yeah.
still having sex with men also.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, there's such a thing as sexual addiction, but I always say to women, you know, even if you don't define that necessarily as gay, if they're having gay sex, that's all you have to know.
That's right. You're
you
in
know.
Danger. There was a joke going around during the Clinton era that Saddam Hussein calls up Bill Clinton and says, you know, sheep don't talk.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny then.
It was funny now.
Yeah.
So what about, like I say, if somebody comes to your group, do they ever say, well, their husbands are having relationships with both men and women? Or
No. Most, I can't think of a single... Well, we have had some men who marry serially. They, you know, it's your fault, so I get divorced from you, and I go find some other wife. And the same thing's happened with lesbians, as a matter of fact, that they have married serially, and it takes them several times to figure out that they're the problem, not the women are the problem.
Oh, yeah.
So we have had people who gotten married...
I'd like to bring that up for a minute, too, because for those men who are in the deepest of denial, you know, they keep telling their wives, well, I am going to get married again, and they do.
And they do. They find some other poor woman who doesn't know any better, and they marry again, and they do it again and again until finally somebody, well, look at Jim McGreevy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a perfect example. I mean, he did the first wife out in British Columbia knew he was gay, and he paid her off, which is why there was no money left for Dina,
mm-hmm.
and Dina outed him. So she got no money. The other lady's not opening her mouth, hasn't said a word, but you've got to believe that she knew he was gay, and that's why they broke up.
Mm-hmm. How about the people that, you know, we see all the time, the Christian ministers like Ted Haggard?
Oh, yeah. Gay.
Gay forever and ever, right?
Gay forever. If you're meeting in a men's room, if you're being in the bushes, if you know, whatever it is, if you're with men, you're with men. Because
right.
straight men don't do that. You talk to straight men, and they have no curiosity. They don't think it's... something they want to do, they, you know, they wouldn't think of going and having sex in the bathroom with men or in the bushes or whatever at the rest stops on the parkway. This is just not something that they're at all interested in.
But I do tell women that, you know, even if they come from religious Christian backgrounds, and I know that Misty helps me with this because, you know, she comes from that background, that one of the things that you can't do is you can't pray the gay away.
Nope, can't pray away the gay.
That, you know, no matter how hard you pray, it's still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And they could suppress it, they could not act on it for a while, but eventually it's going to just be back.
And they can go and try and be retrained, but it doesn't work. People commit suicide. It's very destructive. A lot of people who fail doing that, which is the norm, many of them do end up committing suicide. And some finally just accept the fact that they're gay and it's not going to change. But some people along the way do kill themselves because they feel that they should have been able to do this. And, you know, they're told that they should be able to do this by their religious organization, and it doesn't work.
Right, because they have groups like the ex-gay ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have people who are out there doing aversion therapy on men.
Right.
Where they give them electric shocks when they, you know, feel stimulated by pictures of men.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping this will change your sexual orientation. But nothing changes it, you know, and people can suppress it, but it doesn't mean that's not who they are. And that's the saddest part of all,
yeah.
That people have to, you know, and I feel very bad for the gay men who have to live that way.
But imagine if it were the other way around. Imagine if the law was and the norm was that we would all have to be lesbians and we'd all have to be gay. I mean, those people who are heterosexual would have to sneak out to meet the people of the opposite sex and have sex with them because that's, you know, that's the way they're built.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like I said, I have a lot of empathy. You know, I always tell people that people have no choice in being gay. The only thing
right.
they have a choice in is being honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, certainly, you know, I'm a very big advocate of gay rights. I'm a big advocate of gay marriage. You know, I feel that if gay people were made to believe that they are equal, that they wouldn't have to do things to make them feel like they're equal, like getting married.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it must be the hardest thing in the world to have to sit and live a lie every day. And to pretend that you're somebody who you're not. I mean,
and to constantly be worried, and to be worried you're going to be outed.
Well, and at every turn. I mean,
yeah.
When are you going to get caught? Who's going to see you?
Right, right. I think that people should only get married in their churches and synagogues. And I think, as far as the government is concerned, everybody should have a civil union, and or a civil partnership, or whatever you want to call it, heterosexual, gay, whatever it is. If when you get divorced, it's all about show me the money. Unless you've got kids and have to deal with that. And it's the same as if you had a business partnership. It's show me the money and divide it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really just a business partnership, the domestic partnerships and all. And I think that the government should just get out of the marriage business, forget that word. And you have your civil marriage with the government officials. You have everything legal from that point of view. And then you go to your church or your synagogue, and they can use the word marriage or they can use the word chicken soup for all I care.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, they can call it what they want and keep that as a religious thing. And just use the word civil union or civil partnership, because in the end, that's what it is.
Do you find that with the women that you meet through your group, that the longer you stay in the marriage, the longer it takes you to get your life back on track?
That's a hard one. I think that depends on the individual. I mean, certainly I was in my marriage for 27 years when I found out and 30 years when I finally got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm back to what I would call normal yet. I mean, it takes a long time, but that just might be me.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of residual scarring that...
And trust issues. I mean, you've been fooled once, and you really don't have the confidence to say, hey, I might not be fooled again.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I find that, you know, a lot of times women either jump into relationships right away because they want to prove they're, you know, normal.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't something about them that turned their husbands gay.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, find...
But you've bounced back. I mean, you've had a new relationship for many years now.
16 and a half years.
Yeah,
it took me 11 years before I was willing to open up my heart again.
Mm-hmm.
I really had a lot of healing to do, and, you know, I had a lot of my own issues to have to deal with, my own self-esteem issues, my loss of sexual esteem. You know, I was scared. You know, I thought I'm going to make a mistake again. And plus, you know, I have a wonderful relationship with my ex-husband now, but I had a very bad relationship with him for many years.
But when you needed him, he wasn't there. When you needed him financially and otherwise, he just wasn't there for you.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It was just, you know, once again, he was stuck in a marriage that he didn't belong in. And, you know, his anger, of course, and his frustration was taken out on me. And, you know, he said a lot of things that, you know, really hurt me. And, you know, they learn how to push your buttons and how to hit you at your most vulnerable points. And I think that, you know, it just takes a long time to, you know, heal from that. And as soon as, you know, there are all these events that could happen that just push those buttons again. It just makes you, you know, feel all those feelings of insecurity build up in you again. So it did take me a long time, and I had to work on a lot of my own issues, which I tell women it's really important not to just jump, to first learn, you know, all the things that went wrong in your marriage and how it affected you. Because unless you become mentally healthy, you'll find another bad relationship, and it doesn't have to be with a gay man. There are plenty of straight predators out there that are looking for vulnerable women.
Mm-hmm. I actually have met a lady who was married to two gay men. The second one was somebody who kind of, you know, came when she was having her first divorce and was very, you know, very wonderful to her and courted her for a couple of years. And finally, you know, she said, okay, she would marry him. And within a year of that, he came out. And she was, of course, devastated all over again.
Yeah, I wish I would say to you, I've never heard that story before.
Yep.
I hear it a lot. I have a woman who's on her third gay husband, and I told her, now, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the first one, okay. The second one, okay. But the third one, now you should know better.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there are certain signs and certain red flags that if you can't find them, you know, there's no excuse for having three gay husbands. You know, you should have learned something from the first two.
Well, I think we do lack gaydar. I mean, I really can't tell to this day who is and who isn't. So I think we lack gaydar, but also
I don't get
involved with a lot of these people.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you were dating somebody, I think you would know what to look for at this stage, right?
I think I probably would if I were dating, but it's all hypothetical at the moment.
Yes. I mean, I always tell women, if you are starting to date a guy, make sure he's touching you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go with these guys who respect you. You know,
right.
We're not in the kind of day and age where people have to respect you.
Right. And also find out who his friends are, because birds of a feather tend to flock together. And so if his friends are gay, like my ex-husband's friends were all gay, you know, hello. That's
right.
A clue.
That's another clue. I always
That's
tell
a
women,
clue.
You got to get to know these guys, get to know their friends, get to know their families. You know, because a lot of times you'll have little hints dropped your way. Oh, I can't believe he's getting married. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, right.
And let's
see. Many of the women in my group and the men in my group, after they get divorced, people say, oh, you know, I knew he was gay all along. Well, why didn't you tell me, folks?
Yeah, we say that a lot, too. But everybody
yeah, no,
knows
nothing surprises your friends.
But then people say, well, if I tell her, and what if it's not true? Or if I tell her, and what if she doesn't believe me, then I'm going to lose her friendship.
Yeah.
I say, take the chance. I had a gentleman write to me this week that his brother-in-law is gay. And, you know, should he tell, you know, his sister-in-law? I said, absolutely. You know, I say that if you know that somebody's gay, you really owe it to them to tell them. Rather than make them wonder. And then people say, well, they must know. Well, they don't necessarily know.
You know, back when people thought about me, everybody, it turned out, in his whole industry knew he was gay, but everybody thought that I seemed so smart, so I must know. Maybe I'm staying together with him for the children, whatever, whatever. And my attitude is, in the age of AIDS, this is not a good thing to do. In the age of AIDS, if you think somebody is gay and you really have reason to believe that you're right, it's not something you would think about otherwise. At least warn the people. I mean, maybe the first person who would have said that, I would have said, oh, you're just jealous because I have such a wonderful life. But by the third person, I would say, you know, there's something here I should be looking at.
Yeah, let me ask
you. So I think we do have a responsibility to our fellow human beings to say something. If it doesn't work, if it isn't true, it isn't true. But it's just a suspicion, and by the third person, I'm sure I would have said, you know, there's something here I should be looking at.
Let me ask you this. And the women that you've dealt with over the years, in the 13 years you're doing this, have you found many of them with the issues of sexually transmitted diseases?
Several. I don't know how many. Maybe 10 years ago I did a study just out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe what they have gotten. I mean, one lady actually had a rash on the bottom of her foot, and it turned out that that's the final stages of syphilis. I mean, I didn't know that until I did the study.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there are all kinds of diseases that are transmitted. Well, both, you know, also, if you know, for heterosexual couples, there are all kinds of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had people, I know the story of one guy who didn't tell his wife he was HIV positive, had AIDS, and she had a baby, and the three of them are dead now.
Yeah, I used to work.
I mean, that kind of thing does happen. But there's also herpes out there. There's all kinds of hepatitis out there. There's a lot of things people pick up from each other. And I think the more partners you have, the more likely you are to be vulnerable to picking up diseases. And, you know, especially if you're not careful every single time. And, you assume if you're married, you're in a monogamous relationship, you don't need to be protected.
Right, but we do tell women that if you have any suspicion whatsoever, because I'm always shocked by women who, you know, have a suspicion that their husbands are gay.
They should get tested.
And yet they're having unprotected sex with them because they want to prove to their husbands how much they love them and trust them.
Right. They should get tested.
They need to get tested, and they need to have safe sex if they're going to have sex.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these men go through, you know, what I call the honeymoon period after their wives accuse them, you know, then all of a sudden they become extremely sexually attentive to them all of a sudden.
Right.
You know, for a short amount of time.
Yeah,
maybe
for as long as they can pull it off, just to throw her off
right.
base.
Exactly. It doesn't last long, but all of a sudden they're having more sex than they had in the whole marriage just
mm-hmm.
to, you know, throw their wives off track. And yet, you know, these women are having unsafe sex, and then they come back with all these sexually transmitted diseases. So I was wondering if you, you know, had that experience also.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely that happens. With me, it wasn't a problem. After I don't know how many years, I finally, you know, there was nothing in it for me having sex with him, and he was so robotic anyway. It was a big effort for him to, you know, do it. And I finally said, you know, I'd really rather sleep. So luckily, we weren't having sex, you know, for years and years that I was married.
How about those years? Were you good friends at all, or...?
We were companionable. That's the best I'll ever get it. We were never in love. We never loved each other. I kept thinking, like the song from Fiddler on the Roof, well, they'll learn to love each other. I really figured, and that's what he was saying, oh, it'll be so much better after we get married. It'll be so much better after we get married, after we have a kid. Everything's going to be better in the future. And, of course, it had no way of getting better. But by then, you were kind of hooked in, and
mm-hmm.
you weren't thinking about it anymore. And, you know, so we have practically no sex in our marriage, thank goodness, because, you know, every time you have sex with these guys, you're vulnerable to whoever they're having sex with.
Now,
so I'm just very lucky that I never picked anything up from him.
Now, after you found out, you know, through your children, you know, who were the ones who tipped you off on this.
Yeah.
What kind of relationship did they have with their father after this all came out?
Oh, none. Absolutely none. I couldn't get him out of the house for 18 months. We had an attempted murder trial. He tried to kill our son. He got off. This was during the OJ era, and we called him the other Teflon man because, everything he touched, he got off on. It was crazy.
Hmm.
But and then I couldn't get him out of the house, and I had one kid still living home at that point. And we just lived in, I put locks on the bedroom doors. I moved into a different bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And for 18 months, we functioned with me buying, and he had been a research chemist working for a pharmaceutical company before the gourmet food business, and he was helping to make the medicine taste good. So I was really worried he was going to try to poison us.
Uh-huh.
And so for 18 months, we lived in fear that he was going to try to poison us. And I was buying everything in one-serving containers, if you can imagine. One-serving milk, one-serving juice, applesauce, whatever it was. If it was open in the fridge, we didn't touch it.
Wow.
And for 18 months, we lived like that for fear of our lives. It was really hell. And then finally, you know, we got him out.
But he didn't maintain any kind of relationship with the children.
Well, what happened was he's always had a very easy time with foreign languages. I mean, when I met him, he already was very good at German and French and English. He had
mm-hmm.
taken it in school. Whenever we traveled, he was always considered to be a native, and I kept my mouth shut, believe it or not. And but since then, he learned Portuguese, he learned Dutch, he learned a lot of Italian, he learned a lot of other languages, and he had boyfriends, you know, who spoke those languages.
Uh-huh.
So when he left my house, basically he went to live in Holland. His boyfriend over there fixed him up. They gave him, you know, he had a new name he wanted to use. So they thought that was great, and they set him up over there. And he lives in The Hague. He only comes into America a couple times a year. Thank goodness I don't have to bump into him, and kids don't have to be dealing with him.
But I get
this nonsense that he'll always be my father, despite the fact that he lied and stole as much as he could from the family, and you know just the whole. You know, the whole business, the kids still seem to want to have him for a father. Like, I mean, what do you owe for a sperm cell, for crying out loud? You know, I should have gone to a sperm bank.
Yeah,
but I think
that's normal. Every child
it is, unfortunately. Yeah.
You know, but does he have any correspondence with them? Or
only by email.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's in the country, sometimes, you know, they'll come in and they'll see him. He'll stay in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
With his sister, and sometimes they'll come in from wherever they are and you know, and see him and that side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is tough because they tell me, which is true, that just because I'm divorced doesn't mean they have half the relatives, and there's certainly a validity to that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, these people have done nothing but lie, cheat, and steal from us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a lot of respect for them, nor do I want my children, who are now adults and I have no control, to be at all influenced by them.
With the people in your group, do any of them have good relationships with their ex-husbands
yes.
or their family?
Yes, those people whose husbands came out were honest, were regretful, were considerate, and didn't try to loot the family. Those are the ones where they can have an ongoing relationship. but where the guy came, didn't come out, argued the whole way, made the divorce last long and hard and horrible, and then tried to loot the whole family on the theory that they're going toward their future and you're their past, and they want to take as much as they can toward their future. Those are the ones that really don't have a good relationship with the family afterwards. But that would be the same if they were straight.
Right, because I always tell people that, you know, once again, predators come in all sexuality.
Yeah.
I had a father who walked away from 5 children, who took everything from my mother, made her sign papers thinking she was signing a business paper,
mm-hmm.
and it was so we would lose our house while he took the money.
Yeah.
And he walked away, and he never looked back. So, mm-hmm. you know, once
again. Because that doesn't make for good relationships in the future now, does it?
No, I don't think so. No, apparently they never had one. But, you know.
Nor you with him, right?
Well, you know.
Did you have a relationship with him after that?
I did for many years, only because, you know, I think it's very normal that children want two parents.
Yes.
And they'll make excuses and, you know, they'll justify what their fathers do because they want to be loved by both parents. I mean, there came a point where I had what I call divorce my father because my relationship with him was toxic. And, you know, I became mature enough to realize that this man is so destructive that, you know, I just couldn't deal with him at all. And, you know, he was never really there for any of us, just to sit and mentally destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I say you don't have to be gay to have, you know, sociopathic.
That's an equal opportunity thing, straight or gay.
Exactly. And I do know some wonderful gay fathers who really, like you said, do the right thing.
Absolutely.
You know, they're supportive to their wives. They feel very bad for what happened. And, you know, they're really trying to be good parents and good ex-husbands.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's a matter of integrity, and you know, and other good thing, good qualities like integrity. No, we definitely. I think a lady in my organization who I'm very friendly with, who still works with her husband 40 hours a week. They go on vacation occasionally together with the adult children and him and his partner, and you know, they all go on vacation together. And you know, more power to them if they can get along and not have the problem.
Yeah.
But he didn't. But he was not one of the people who tried to take everything on the way out.
Yeah, that's the other thing I just never understand about these men. You know, the ones who are like that, and there's a lot of them that we certainly run into with the women who, you know, are part of my support network, that, you know, it's bad enough that you married a gay man, you're bad enough that, you know, the marriage isn't what it was ever, you know, you hoped for, it's bad enough that your dreams and your hopes are, you know, tugged out from under you, but now you have to be treated like, you know, like you're the person who created all these problems, and these guys in their own mind justify everything. You know, that the wives are responsible for, you know, their unhappiness.
Well, a lot of them go to the gay...
Them.
A lot of them go to the Gay Married Men's Association where they're told that. They're told, well, gee, the rest of us, our wives let us do anything we want, and, you know, our wives don't have to know. And I think they get a lot of information from the Gay Married Men Association on how to deal with the wife.
And also some of these gay father groups. You know,
right.
Some of them are great, but some of them are just like the Gay Married Men's Organization.
Yeah. And some of them are a meat market. They're just a place for these men to meet other men.
Absolutely. And, you know, instead of giving support and trying to do something for the family, what they're doing is they just, you know, open pickup places.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really hard for women to have to deal with all these issues. In fact, we said that next week on our show, Misty and I are going to be talking about all the issues that straight wives have to deal with who have gay husbands. That
if you could do that in one program, more power to you.
Yeah, I mean, we have enough stuff to bring up an hour and a half of all the issues that women have to go through that other women don't deal with when they're just getting a divorce from a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many different things as far as the family relationships, who to tell, who you can tell. What's your opinion on that, Carol, about who you can tell?
Well,
you feel you can tell everybody?
I think you can tell everybody. That's my personal opinion. I would, for the first year when I was looking for support and hadn't found the network yet, if you stood behind me on the grocery line, you knew my husband was gay. Because I was just hoping somebody was going to say, oh, yes, that happened to my sister or that happened to my cousin. And that never happened. I mean, but I told everybody in sight because I just felt it wasn't his secret. I'm not keeping his secret for him, what, you know, from the way he's been treating us. And I was really looking out there, you know, fishing for support, fishing for other people who'd made the same mistake I had.
Mm-hmm.
So my attitude is, you know, I'm not one of these people who's going to go into the closet and keep his secret for him. No way, no way, no how.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just, I can't tell lies. It's just, it's not me. I have to be honest about everything, and it's just tough for him. And, of course, he wasn't out. So, you know, you believe who you believe.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying he was straight, and I was saying he was gay. But, you know, I had every reason to believe that I was right.
And how about his family? Did you have any relationship with them?
Well, actually, I'm not as smart as I sound sometimes, and I was confiding in his sister.
Uh-huh.
You know, and did you ever think your brother might be gay? And she said, oh, you know, you were the only woman he ever kissed, and this and that and the other, and we have got these other gay relatives, you know, around. And, you know, she really hadn't put it together, you know. But it turned out that she was telling him everything I was telling her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not so smart of me to be confiding in my sister-in-law, because blood is thicker than water.
Mm-hmm. So are your children in touch with his relatives, or...?
Yeah, they have basically an email relationship with them, and when they come into town, they do see each other.
Uh-huh.
But my kids live out of town, but when they do come in, they do see each other.
Did you have a close relationship with his family before all of this?
Well, his sister and I thought we were good friends. That's why I was confiding in her. He only has a sister. His mother died a while ago, and his father died before I met him.
Uh-huh.
But so he really just got the sister and her children. But you know, I thought she and I were friends and had a close relationship, but I should not have confided in her, that's for sure, because everything I told her, she told him.
Well, unfortunately, I agree with you. Blood is usually thicker than
water. And now I have no relationship at all. As far as I'm concerned, the whole family, you know, she betrayed me as much as he did, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have no relationship, nor do I want to with any of those people. They're not good for my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me just go back to the Straight Spouse Network for a moment.
Sure.
Because when you first got involved with it, you went on to become the president of it, correct?
Yeah. We at the time, Amity Buxton, who wrote the book The Other Side of the Closet, founded the organization. That was back in 1986. And at some point along the way, it grew beyond what she could, you know, manage. And so we did form a real organization, and we have a board. And I ultimately went on the board, and I had 3 2-year terms. I was the treasurer for quite a while of it, and I was the president for quite a while of it. And that's, I think that's three presidents ago. I think I've lost count. Either 3 or 4 presidents. I was the first president after Amity.
Uh-huh.
And that was for a couple of years. And that was interesting, you know, being in an organization that was growing the way ours is growing.
And how about statistically? I mean, what do you think it is as far as the number of gay men who are married in this country?
I personally, this is not an organizational number, I personally think that it's a third of the human race since Cro-Magnon man is gay or lesbian. That's just my personal thing. And of that, probably, I would say maybe half. Half of that third are married.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people, and 10% of them will ever come out or be found out.
Mm-hmm.
So 90% of the 30% are living alive, and their families are all in this situation and don't even know it. They just know they're miserable, they're not happy, and they don't know they have no idea why. And as women, we probably think it's our fault, because we can fix everything, because we're the women, and we think everything's our fault, and that's just one of the things of being a woman.
You know, it's so good that talking to you about that, Carol, because for the first time somebody can say to me that I'm conservative about something.
Well, that's just my personal opinion. That's not an organizational opinion. That's my personal opinion. And, you know, if you're a carpenter, everything looks like a nail. But, you know, if you're a carpenter, everything looks like a nail. So from where I stand with you know, the people I meet, I would say much more than people think it is.
But does your organization have a number?
Oh, Amity usually says that... Oh, I don't know, maybe 10% or... I don't remember what her numbers are, because I think they're very, very, very low. But, you know, she has her statistics. But it's all self-reporting. That's the problem. If you people are not reporting as being gay, then how are you going to know?
By my estimates, because I go a lot on what the gay community says, I say there are at least 4 million men in this country who are married.
Uh-huh. Well, even the numbers are... You know, I can't go with how many millions, because that's just a big number to me. If it's you, it's 100% if it's you, and that's the important thing. But I think it's much more prevalent than people think. I really, really, really think it's a third of the human race from Cro-Magnon man on. I just really do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, probably about half of them are married, and probably 10% of them will ever come out or be found or be, you know, disclosed or discovered. I think it's a lot. I think it's more than anybody else, because it's all people just don't self-identify.
Mm-hmm.
And even the people who are on the down low say, oh, no, I'm not gay. You know, I'm straight. I've got a wife. I've got a girlfriend, all this other stuff. But in the meantime, they're meeting the men in church, and they're meeting the men at the gyms, and they're having sex with men. But they don't consider themselves gay. So unless we have a lie detector test of some kind or a genetic test of some kind, until we do that, I'm going to use the numbers that I have, because I think it's way, way underreported.
I like your numbers, Carol.
Well, I think they're valid. I mean, those are my numbers because I think they're real.
And I can't disagree with that.
Nobody can disagree with any of the numbers because we can't prove anything. But until we can come away from self-reporting, I think I'm going to stick with those numbers.
Maybe they could do like a gay census someday.
Only if people would self-identify.
And we'll tell everybody we'll keep it a secret. Yes or no.
Would my ex-husband have told the truth? No. And neither would most of the people that I know.
I think a lot of them, once again, don't even believe they're gay. You know, they're saying they're straight, but they have these yearnings.
But they have sex with men, but they're straight, right?
Right.
So those are the MSM people, the men having sex with men. Those are the most dangerous because they really do bring the diseases into the family.
Uh-huh.
And they've got a whole category called MSM, men having sex with men.
And there's a lot of that out there.
And there's a lot of it out there, and those are the most dangerous ones for bringing diseases into the family.
I know that the women that I have who are my detectives and my investigators who always go on these gay websites, you know, for men.
Uh-huh.
And they tell me the staggering number of married men who are on these lines.
Mm-hmm.
That people would never believe how many there actually are.
Well, it makes my number sound more real.
Yes, and also another thing that I always tell women that, you know, I've been told this by a lot of gay men, that you're going to find the gay men at the straight gyms, not at the gay gyms. Because, you know, in the gay gyms, you know, they're going there actually.
They know you're gay if you're there, but when you go to a straight gym, they don't know you're gay.
Well,
now, mine used to go to the local Y here to pick up men. He used to go to Bally's to pick up men. He went to, you know, all of the gyms. There was some gym in Manhattan he went to pick up men.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the bathhouses, which are still doing good business.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were in business still.
Oh, there are bathhouses everywhere in Manhattan. Then you've got the ones at the parkway exits where you have the riding for Raj thing where they park at a thing and they stick this magnet on the door of their car and some guy comes over to the car and they go off into the bushes.
Wow.
I mean, I too much information that I found out since I got into this, you know, this situation many years ago.
Yes.
It's incredible. The tip of the iceberg is all we know about.
So let's talk to people again how they can get in touch with the Straight Spouse Network.
Great. Well, we have a website, straightspouse.org. Just go to our website and you can get all the information you need. We have, you know, just all kinds of good stuff on there. And you can find out about our face-to-face support groups, and you can find out about the online chat groups, our gatherings. The officers are on there of our organization with their bios. Lots of personal stories are on there.
How often do
we have a reading list that we approve, you know, that we recommend.
And how often does your group meet face to face?
My group meets the first Thursday night of each month. The one in Manhattan meets the third Wednesday of each month, and the one in Mahwah meets the second Friday of each month.
Uh-huh.
And you can find out more about those meetings by going to our website or by contacting me through you.
Right. And, right, if anybody would like to be in touch with Carol, just write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to forward your comments or your questions to Carol.
Also, I have a little thing. It's carol@straightspouse.org. I have an extra little email address there.
Oh, okay, so. carol@straightspouse.org. You can always
and
write
it will be
Carol
forwarded
there
to
also.
Me.
Well, Carol, I can't thank you enough for taking this time to spend with us to give us, I mean, I really feel you're an expert in this area. You've been working with it for so long now. You've done so many wonderful things as far as helping women and helping women meet other women and men. And, you know, volunteering your time in this whole field, being a pioneer in this field, I mean, it's such a great tribute to you.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I'll do anything that I can to help folks in our situation, as I know you do, too.
I know, and I really love you, Carol.
Same
you know,
here.
You're one of my favorite people in the whole wide world.
And luckily we have a good relationship, so we can text people back and forth and get them whatever help they need. And that's one of the good things about you the relationship that you and I have with each other. We're not in competition. We're just, you know, we're complimentary.
Yeah, I'm thrilled you're there because, like I say, there are a lot of women I can't work with. And
mm-hmm.
You're always so wonderful as far as, you know, giving them support and help and, you know, leading them into a direction where I really couldn't help them, but you can.
Yeah, well, we have a whole triage department that handles, you know, calls for help and calls for support.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's great that, you know, I recommend a lot of women who want to do the face-to-face meetings. You know,
yeah.
Straight Spouse Network is really there for them for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Our new motto is real support at an unreal time. That's our latest tagline.
Yeah, I really like that line.
It does kind of work.
And don't forget, think about that, your full divorce.
Yeah, right.
Kind of like that new slogan I'm going to have. But we're hoping that you'll come back and join us again in a few months.
Anytime you invite me.
Okay, and thank you so much.
Okay, good night, and good night,
right,
Misty, and good night to all of your listeners.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. So, Misty?
Yes.
I'm sorry that I monopolized that whole show.
But that's okay.
But
sounds like you could go way back.
Time.
That's okay. That's okay. So it sounds like you and Carol know each other from way back.
We probably met about 7, 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even longer. You know, and I've actually had the pleasure of meeting Carol a number of times in person.
Wonderful.
And I love her because of the fact that, you know, I believe in what she believes in. You know, she's a radical,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as this movement is concerned. And
mm-hmm.
she doesn't, you know, she's really happy to espouse her party line, but, you know, she has a mind of her own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really great because, you know, I admire people that can do that. I'm not one of them. I can only espouse my party line. But I think that it's good when you can be more flexible than me. But I feel that I have a mission, and that's to help women get out of the marriages, not stay in the marriages. But I know that in my early days when I was running my support groups, it was open to everybody. I had couples there. I had, you know, straight wives. I had straight husbands. I had gay husbands with their straight wives. And, you know, I was doing something, you know, like similar to that, but I just felt in time that I couldn't do it anymore. I felt that it was wrong to give support to people to stay in these marriages when they were so destructive. And I know that Carol also, you know, feels the same way. But it's good that the Straight Spouse Network does open up to anybody because not everybody's ready to jump out of their marriage and they do need support.
Right. So they provide a lot of great support, and especially with leaders like Carol. I mean, it's something very much needed.
Oh, yes. Carol's, like I say, the best. So if any of you need support, you know, feel free to write to me if you didn't get Carol's information. Or you can write to Carol at carol@straightspouse.org, straightspouse.org, and she'll be more than happy to respond to you or get you the support that you need. So, Misty, we've had another wonderful show. And, you know, we really appreciate all our listeners who are tuned in to us. If you have any comments, please let me know. And if you're interested in Misty's workshop for next Saturday, please let her know. Or send me a note, and I'll be happy to send it to her. And next week, as I mentioned, we're going to go through a show about all the different issues that we as straight wives have to go through. And I think hopefully we'll have some members from our support group calling in and talking about some of their experiences. So do you have any final words for the night?
No, just a great show once again, and I appreciate all their listeners. Oh, I do have one more comment I'd like to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
I keep forgetting to let the listeners know that we now have a Facebook page, and it's just Straight Wives on the Facebook. So if you are on Facebook, you can look at it. Post when we're having shows. Sometimes if we know ahead of time a guest, I will post that. And you do not have to be a member to view the Facebook page, because I know the privacy is very important on that issue. But it's a public page, so you can look at it even if you're not a member or a fan of the page. So if you want to keep up with what Bonnie and I are doing on the radio show, please drop in and on Facebook, and you can find us under Straight Wives.
And that's thanks to Misty that you can keep up, because I wouldn't even know how to spell the Facebook thing. I'm not on it. So Misty's kind enough to put it on for us, because you're young, Misty. You can do that kind of stuff, right?
Oh, I try, but technology some days outruns me, I'm telling you.
When you get to be my age, you're too old for Facebook, I think. Although a lot of our women who are older than me are using it. So I just use that as an excuse. But anyway, I want to thank all our listeners and know that we're there for you. We love you. We want you to know that whatever support you need, you know, don't hesitate to ask. You are not alone. We are with you, and we'll be talking to you again next Sunday night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And have a wonderful week. Misty, have a great week.
You too. Great week to all, and my love to all.
Okay, talk to you next week. Good night,
uh-huh,
ma'am.
Bye-bye. Good night.